Welcome back to IndyCan Radio. Thanks for spending some time with us. This is our first September show. If you've been away from us for a while, you've missed a lot. It's all at www.indycan.com. We've got a review of some of the things that have happened this summer. We've got some new stuff. Patrick Creef is on deck. We're going to hear a little bit about his solo album, Away From the Deers. But first, the retrospective of the summer. We'll try to cram as much as we can into the hour. Enjoy.
All right, this is Breaking Out, and you're listening to IndyCan. We are Psychotic Four!
Don't give a damn.
Well, welcome back to TO Psychotic 4.
Yeah.
We haven't been here for 20 minutes.
Woot.
Now, Breaking Out, that's a little different than your album cut. You added a little bit of flavor to that.
Yeah, we did. I mean, you know, we sort of changed after the album and lineup as well, so we sort of just thought it needed something.
Now, the question you have to deal with all the time, Psychotic 4 is a 5-member band.
Whoa.
The
story. Okay, once again, tell the story. You know what's funny? We went a good, like, 3 years. No, a good 2 years since Dave's been in the band, right, David Blaze?
Almost two years.
Give or take.
Yeah, so we went that long, and no one said anything. And in the past, like, 3 months. But the thing is, we were Psychotic 4. We recorded the album as Psychotic 4.
Right.
I used to play guitar. I don't anymore. And we originally got David Blaze to do sort of just live, like extra guitarist type of thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm a pretty limited guitar player.
Right.
So, you know, he's definitely not limited. So we did that. And then we were like, all right, this is stupid. So, I mean, we might change the name, I think.
No, I don't want it.
Next record, Psychotic 4, but who's counting?
Yeah. No, it's like, hope you can't count. Hey, we're Riley Carr from Vancouver, BC. The song's called California's Lost. California's Lost.
Yeah.
the background behind, see, it's a funny song. This is what I think so far is my greatest piece of writing, I would say. It's sort of my, I feel my most accomplished piece of writing lyrically, and the match of lyrical emotion to what I do musically.
It's got great metaphors in it, that's for sure.
Tons, you know. Yeah. It's, I have friends out in Gatineau, Dave and Marty, and 3+ years ago, my wife and I were out there having supper one night, and Marnie was about 6 weeks out from giving birth to her first child, who would actually be named Vegas. And at the time, they didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. And we were asking them, what are the names you'll pick, you know? And they said, well, if it's a girl, we'll name her Holly. And I was like, oh, that's a pretty name. It's not average, isn't it, you know? And if it's a boy, they looked at each other and laughed, and they said, well, we're going to name it Vegas. And I said, well, you know what? That's interesting. That's Latin for stars, actually.
Oh, cool.
Las Vegas means the stars. And I thought that was a beautiful name. And they're getting flack from their family, you know, because they're like, whoa, it's, you know, he's gonna get made fun of. Why isn't he named Matthew or, you know, John or whatever? So, driving home that night, I was thinking, the hamster started spinning in the wheel. A long drive home from Gatineau in the dark, image, you know, in the 148. And I'm thinking, wouldn't it be amazing if we were born to fates or a destiny based on something as random as our name? And no matter what we did and how we fought to break it, we just couldn't break that cycle, you know, that path. And so I had all these ideas spinning in my head. Vegas, you know, a life of gambling and on the run and in trouble, you know, and never being able to ease those demons. And so I went home, I went to bed, and when I woke up the next morning, it was just spilling out of my head, you know. I basically picked up the guitar and I started writing the music and the melody. And I had kind of an idea of, you know, call me Vegas. But it was only when I went into the shower that day that all of a sudden all the lyrics started pouring out of me. So I'm shampooing my hair and a whole verse is coming out of me. Yeah. So I'm jumping out of the shower, writing this soggy paper, jumping back in the shower. No sooner am I back in there, more lyrics. I got shampoo in my eyes. I'm going out writing lyrics. And on a very soggy piece of loose leaf, in about 20 minutes, the song was written.
Yeah, so artists, if you're having writer's block, it's time to wash your hair.
Time to go and get clean. All you grubby artists, clean your hair. Yeah, for sure. Cleanest song I ever wrote, you know.
Well, fabulous. Well, thanks for coming in and sharing your music with our listeners.
Thank you very much, Joe.
I hope we can keep track with you.
Indiecan rocks.
You bet.
Cheers, man.
Thanks.
I'm Mark Shalana, and this is Call Me Vegas. Lies asleep in my arms. The light that lets me breathe shows her age. Her now cramped up bone, a greyhound bus heading south. I gently close my book and kiss her mouth. Still she sleeps. I hail from Gatineau, oh, but it's years since I left. The memories are shrouded in that pall. Call me Vegas. Like the lands that I have watched roll away in night. All the lives that I have lived all from my side. Some sunny day when I last see my name, I will fly and find me, shake my destiny, live my life. I was born into December's dicey white, thrown a Sagittarius by side, come up snake eyes. Raised with all the love that I could store, I hit the road in my plight. A gambling man, a trouter, I was drunk. I've walked the line. Some sunny day when I last see my name, call me Vegas and find me, shake my destiny. Call me Vegas, Vegas. of the dice was on a girl with tired eyes. She said our paths were written in the stars. It's there that I lost my mind. So I shook the bookies looking for me, and I cut my losses and I saved my spine. And I took along a girl with tired eyes for my guide. So now I'm on a bus that splits the night while salvation sleeps beside me, with all my stakes now riding on this ride. Sleep takes my eyes. Some sunny day when I'll escape my name, I will fly and find me, shake my destiny, live my life. Yes, some sunny day I'll just walk away, break my feet. The house is hard to beat, and it just keeps on haunting me, calls me Vega, Vega, Vega.
Hi, this is Dean from Colorado, and you're here at first on the Toronto indie scene.
That was good.
That was all right.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
these people always say they're coming to the show, but they never come.
I come, you know? I've been there, right? I've been.
You heard
Shut
it first.
You heard it first on Toronto indie scene. Joe comes.
Okay. Let's talk about your sound. What the hell were you listening to when you were growing up?
We live in Manitic.
Manitic, Ontario.
It's near Ottawa, but not near enough that we
sounds
like.
Sounds like an insect, is it?
It's yeah, it's like an insect.
Yeah,
it really is. We like John Prine, and I went through a period of listening exclusively to Tom Petty, but I'm actually getting through that now with
okay,
with help from
with help with therapy
with help from Steve Miller.
12-step group.
I went through a Sublime phase, entirely Sublime.
Yeah, how did that happen? How did you get a Sublime CD in Manitic?
I don't know.
Must
the internet.
Have been a hitchhiker.
Came
the internet.
Down the river.
I went to the one kid's house who has the internet in the town
like
and ordered it with the other kid, the one kid who has a credit card.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was a combination of three people, me with the idea,
yeah.
one kid with the internet, and one kid with
really
the credit card.
You really have to band together in these small towns.
Yeah.
We stole pretty much all our riffs from an old Les Paul CD. Like an old Les Paul tape. It was a tape that
the log,
you know,
tapes. Yeah, my grandpa actually gave it to me because he's into that kind of stuff. His birthday is actually the exact same date and year as what's his name? James Bond, the first James Bond.
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
No,
right?
Yeah, so wasn't there one before him?
No, he's the same age as Sean Connery. Anyways, so he
August
got us
25th.
He got us hooked on this sort of ragtime like. Is it August 25th?
Yes.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're good, too. You and I should start the business. I don't know if the listening public out there knows
it. Pretending you don't actually know birthdays when you really
know. No, I know people's birthdays.
Yeah.
I'm a very... Let's tell that... Well, no.
Yeah, let's tell that story.
I just guessed a couple people's birthdays, like, dead on.
Yeah.
Earlier.
What is my birthday?
It's January 12th.
There you go.
And he guessed the 11th, but he was only off by time zone because you were born just after midnight.
I was
in
born at 2:14 a.m. He guessed me off by less than 2 hours, and he was likely in the opposite time zone being conceived at the time.
Yeah,
exactly. So it was right on the money.
So, yeah, but we listened to a lot of old-time kind of big band kind of dance hall stuff, a little bit of...
That was a big description of music, like dance hall, like, oh.
Big band.
I was thinking like dance hall, like
no.
Like Buju Banton.
Well, do you dance?
Like Dorsey,
yeah, absolutely.
Miller,
yeah,
like,
definitely.
Yeah,
stuff like that. I mean,
I like Athea and Donna.
No.
Out of town, top ranking. That one.
Kind of.
It's like the reggae song.
But
We all like different songs.
Yeah. We all sort of come together. We meet in the middle with the Beatles. We're all pretty much...
except for me.
Okay, really? I didn't know that about the Beatles? You.
Well, no, I didn't really like them until these guys, like... They're like, yeah, they're good.
Well, you throw a little sort of disco Stones in there with the Miss You
a little bit,
refrain,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so I don't know. You can think what you want about that, I guess.
No, I thought that was pretty cool. I thought it was a very sort of off-the-wall choice, you know, like it wasn't exactly Satisfaction.
You know, we were really just stuck for a chorus at one point in time, and
we just took one from someone else. Yeah.
Someone must have a chorus for this.
Yeah, exactly.
Go through our parents' vinyl and see.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, here's a band called the Rolling Stones. No one will know who they are.
No, that's right. Oh, obscure B-side, man.
I don't know nothing about when Sally's going. When Sally's trying to make some toast, she don't forget about the oven that she's cooking in. When Sally's closet's hot and ghost, she don't regret out loud the bed that she's been sleeping in. I don't know nothing about when Sally's going. When Sally's favorite finger broke, she spent the evening cleaning while waiting for the ambulance. When Sally's got this way, she smokes those cigarettes with the paper deck she stole from the corner store. I don't know nothing about when Sally's going. Yes or no or yes. Oh no, and I don't know nothing about where Sally's going. Yes or no, she's kicking for.
that we find something more than we've been asking for. Hold on.
From Corporate Saturday, and you're listening to IndieCan Radio.
Well, welcome to IndieCan, guys.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks for having us.
So, tell me about the Windsor music scene. You guys, I guess it's a rite of passage. You've played with Daniel Victor, right?
Yeah, that's yeah. right. We yeah.
That's sort of a you're official once that.
That's our hazing in, I guess.
Yeah, a couple bigger bands in Windsor, but yeah. not a lot going on there.
Yeah,
we're trying to make it a little bigger, but you know, it seems like you have to branch outward in order to get somewhere.
Detroit's a big city,
yeah.
so
yeah. That's is it easy to get across the border to play there?
No, but we seem to
yeah,
have
we seem
luck
to be
with
fine.
It.
It's just know. Not. Really legit, but we won't get into legal stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't manage.
Won't talk about visas or work yeah. permits.
No, we audition
like
a lot
that.
Over there.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So that's what you say when you're crossing
yeah,
the border?
Exactly.
No.
No, we say that.
We say that.
Legit.
Going jumping.
Is this going to be broadcast in the States?
Well, who knows who will pick it up, but I don't think a lot of border crossing people are regular subscribers to our show. So.
Hopefully
but
not.
But I mean that's an issue, right? Because you're backed into a corner in Windsor, right? I mean,
exactly.
you've got a long way to drive to get anywhere, right?
Yeah.
I guess there's Sarnia, there's London, there's St. Catharines, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
but you're like what 4 hours to Toronto?
Yes, that's
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
We love playing in Toronto. It's just getting out here is tough because we always then cost us money to get somewhere to stay.
Yeah.
Plus gas. And
gotta make
food.
Sure we play too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure the show's legit.
Yeah. Now you were supposed to be playing the Danforth Music Festival,
yeah.
and that fell through due to politics and some organization.
Yeah. It happens. You got to get used to it.
So tell me about your CD. How long's it been out? It sounds pretty rocking.
Thanks. This it's called A Moment of Peace. It's actually like a 5-song EP.
Yeah,
it's been out since May of 2006.
Exactly. Yeah.
About.
Yeah.
We're actually November. We're going back to the studio
yeah,
to record our
news.
Full length.
Very exciting.
Oh,
11
so
songs.
11 brand new songs.
We're aiming for March for that to be out full length. And that one's going to be even better. We've grown so much since our EP.
I want to play a song off of there, and I want you to pick one.
But You is a really cool tune. It was, it's been written for a long time. It's one of our oldest songs, probably.
Probably the fastest on this CD. More
upbeat, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we like about it on this CD, because I think a lot of our new stuff is... It's kind of like that.
Yeah,
so.
Our new stuff's kind of upbeat, so that would compliment
it's representative
us. Yeah.
of the new stuff that's coming down the pipe.
Which
then.
Is
somewhat,
weird, because it's the
somewhat.
Oldest.
Somewhat,
like
a little bit.
Back to our original.
Only way to tell is just pick up the new stuff
yeah.
when it comes out.
Yeah,
we'll have to
yeah.
come back up here when it comes out.
Exactly.
Yeah, good idea. Mm-hmm. And for people looking for you on the web, where do they find Corporate Sunday?
They can
Corporate Saturday.
There,
sorry.
Yeah. That happens
days
a lot.
Of the week. It's just...
You can either go to our website at www.corporatesaturday.com or you can go to our MySpace, which is myspace.com/corporatesaturday. So.
Okay, fabulous. Okay, well,
Great seeing you. Look forward to actually seeing you live soon.
We look forward to playing soon. So. We've been practicing a long time.
Weird is a blast.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for coming down, guys. From Windsor, that's Corporate Saturday. Before that, a Toronto band called Numbers and Figures from their full-length CD, The Parables of Broken Windows. A fabulous end-to-end, by the way. Great effort, guys. Colorado from the 613 area code around Ottawa, the Tales and Tunes from them. Part of a showcase that included the Vessalones, Cobra, Color Book from Victoria. We still haven't heard from them yet, but I have some audio, which I'll share with you soon. When I was putting together this try to review the summer in an hour, it's just impossible, but I'll try to give you a wide variety. I just feel like, oh, this should have been included, that should have been included. We heard from Mark Jelinoff from our most recent Montreal session. That was from talking about and playing his song, Call Me Vegas. Rally Car from Vancouver, they were here for North by Northeast and the Canada Day celebration at Downsview Park. It feels like it was a year ago, but what a great rock concert that was. 5440 was here, Faber Drive was here, all kinds of other bands. I'm even going to try Trophy, another Toronto band. I'll try to get them on at the end of the show, because what a great tune that is. Before that, Psychotic Four, and that's kind of how our summer started. That goes back to episode 40, if you want to hear the whole nine yards. There is some talk around the rumor mill that Psychotic Four, which became five, might be four again, but this is just chatter I heard at the, the Metal Queen Music Fest at the Phoenix. Some of the bands were talking about that, but anyhow, stay close to their MySpace if you want to know what's going on with them. And summer's over. That's a Mo Berg CD, by the way, for you history buffs. One of the highlights of the summer was, for me, the Hillside Music Festival, and the Deers were there. We're going to hear from Patrick Creef of the Deers very, very soon, and they knocked the socks off the crowd. And also there was Sam Turton. And Sam was all over the place. He was jamming with this group and jamming with that group. And his wealth of material is very deep. We'll be hearing more from him, no doubt about it. But I picked this tune from a 2002 release just because it has a summer reference. For a complete review on everything else we've done this summer, check us out, indiecan.com, IndieCan.com. Hope to see you there. Keep your comments and suggestions coming, because we love to hear from you.
I love the summer sunshine and the way it turns to night, and I love the way I can feel it all more than anything else in this life. I love the shakes and the shivers that run along my spine, and I love the way I can feel it all more than anything else in this life. Oh, I love the curls that cross your eyes, I love your hips and my hair.
Creef, and you're listening to IndieCan Radio.
Hi, this is Roberto, and you're listening to IndieCan Radio.
For starters, thank you for writing your MySpace bio in first person. As someone who reads a lot of them, I was having this conversation with an Ottawa artist who's probably listening about, you know, these indie artists writing, you know, in these flowery adjectives.
Yeah, like the cosmos called upon Patrick Creef to create an EP.
Yeah, exactly. <laughs> Yeah. Where you said, you probably just try to answer the main question everyone wants to ask you is, so why do you need to do a solo album? And you try to answer it as succinctly as you possibly can. Yeah. Melissa, who reads a lot of them as well, it's
they honed their skills.
Right, yeah.
And from the tender age of, the two most used phrases in bios.
Yeah.
All right. You know what's funny? I had written a bio, like the whole thing, first person. Mm-hmm. And when I applied for Factor, the person who was helping me write the grant was like, your bio, it won't do.
Right.
So I was like, what do you want me to do? They're like, oh, I can't be a first person like that. It's got to... So I was like, all right, you know what? You write it. I'm not going to write it. So I read it, and it was like ripe old age of... that line killed me. I hated it. I was like, started playing guitar at the ripe old age of... I was like, ugh. Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I that's kind of what I wanted to do with the MySpace in particular, because I actually do read all the emails and write back. I would feel like a total asshole writing some cosmic shit about me, you know? Like,
that's right. You're just having a conversation.
Yeah, sort just of I'm just a musician.
And
yeah?
To me, that's what MySpace is.
Yeah.
And should be, for sure.
Exactly. It's you could take advantage of its medium to actually communicate with people.
It's called MySpace, not his space.
Yeah, exactly. It's not his space.
It's meant to be first person.
So do you feel like you just... There was a writing voice in you that couldn't be heard in the Deers, or you had some songs in you that weren't Deers songs, or what was behind I need to make a solo album?
See, that's the thing that is almost like weird about putting out an album now as a Deers member. Mm-hmm. But I'd been putting out records, and not on a large scale by any means, but from years before I was in the Deers.
Right.
Like, way before. So it's nothing new to me, but now I have all these people that want to hear it. Right. You know? So yeah. It's totally different.
There's a bigger audience that are willing to listen.
Yeah, and it's like a new perspective, so people are like, you know, like that kind of question. Where did this come from? It's like, well, it's always been there, even... And I took... When I joined the Deers, I was asked to write music for them. And it was kind of like asked really soon in. It was like asking somebody to marry them after two dates.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. No, I don't want to. And it was just like, that was it. So I just continued to write my music.
Right.
On my own. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, I like it that way. Because I have my thing that I do with the Deers, and I have... this, which is something else altogether.
Yeah.
Now, I understand the EP that you released, it's seven songs, and was it 30 that you had initially, I was reading? There were 30 tunes that you...
There was a ridiculous amount of...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember what it came... I know that I ended up tracking 14.
Okay.
But that I'd written a lot more than that for it.
Okay.
And I narrowed it down to 14, tracked the 14, and then... You know, I didn't nail a lot of them, so...
But what I think is a really remarkable thing about this EP is that it sold out, is it twice now, and it's had to be reissued?
Yeah, but it sold out, yeah, you know, it's like saying, wow, they sold out the show, but it was 30 capacity.
Okay. Yeah.
it's not okay. Like it's not a massive scale.
Millions of copies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still impressive enough for me, like I didn't expect... to get rid of 1,000 copies, like, at all, you know, let alone, like, quickly.
You're now with Sunny Lane Records?
Yeah, we just licensed the EP to them.
Actually, I haven't signed it yet, so technically, no.
They ain't got shit.
I'm just letting them pay all this for this advertising time, and then I'm not going to sign it. No.
Yeah,
I'm going to sign it later today, tonight. He brought it, and it was the most... I've been always, like, terrified, but it was the easiest process ever, you know, like, the first thing he sent me was, you know, almost signable, you know, like, there was just a couple things that my paranoia were like, maybe if you can rephrase that, and I didn't even, you know, like, it's just little things, and it's the sweetest little arrangement that I could have asked for Canada.
Now, the music on the CD and experiencing it live are two different things, I hear. Like, it's a very easy listen, the CD. You can just sort of recline back in the seat and just melt into it. I really enjoy it. But I was there for sound check, and you just seem to really rock them up a little bit.
Yeah, I guess that's an understatement even. They're totally, 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 like, recently he was it today he listened to you
no, yesterday
yeah
I work at HMV and the DP came out on Tuesday, and yesterday, like, early in the morning, it's early morning, like, music, good music, so I put it on, and it was strange to hear, like, those songs the studio version compared to what we do, like, every time we play.
It sounds so foreign to you, eh?
It's day and night.
It's like the unplugged version.
I was worried about it because I was like, you know, we don't play a lot of the songs from the EP live. Mm-hmm. We play like two or three of them, and the rest is all new stuff. But even, you know, like, when we started rehearsing the songs, I was kind of worried. I was like, man, this is really mellow. Am I going to be bored out of my mind playing this? And it right away with these guys, like, it became something else right away. So, and that's definitely the energy I want to put on the next record. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for everybody that's put that in their filing cabinet of good mellow music, the Creef stuff, they're going to get a rude awakening on the next record.
Yeah, that's... and you don't mind messing with their heads a little bit. If they've come to expect a certain something from you, and then you sort of shake up their world, that's okay.
The only expectations I care about are my bands and myself. We write the music. It's incestuous or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's totally...
Self-serving,
masturbatory, whatever you want to call it. And we hope that we can please people with it, obviously, but I would, you know, like, whatever happens, we'll do it, you know, like, and that's it. There is definitely going to be a flavor of that on the next record, like a little mellow out moment, but...
Okay.
And it's still the same vibe somewhere, because it's the same neurosis that's driving this... You know, the message, you know?
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Now, you, like, even pre-Deers, like, on this record, you did everything yourself just because you did everything yourself, right? Do you have any insecurities as a performer, as a singer, as a songwriter, where you feel, I wish I was more this or I wish I was more that?
I wish I were a better singer live, that's for sure.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's come a long way, but I'm still, like... I got up and sang in front of people for the first time 2 months ago, you know? 2 or 3 months ago. I'd never even thought of doing it before.
Right.
So there's that whole, like, being afraid of the microphone when there's a certain note that you have trouble with at every rehearsal. And then there's, like, 200 people in front of you, and you're like, yeah! You want to, like, hide from... And that's kind of, like, what's happening with time is... Not so much that I'm more able to hit that note, but I'm not giving a shit if I hit it or not. This is Andre. Come in.
Come on, Andre.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Say hello to IndieCan listeners.
Hi, IndieCan listeners.
Who we are.
What? Andre Bendahan. I play bass in Creef.
I'm more into embracing my faults than trying to mask them, you know? And hoping that there's some kind of honesty and character in that than trying to act like I'm Pavarotti or something. I can't, you know, like,
that's not what I do. The one thing I was most curious about, because some of the reviews, you know, they talk about, you know, enjoying your voice, and I thought, well, every artist I know, right, you know, is more self-critical of themselves than anybody could ever be. But I like the notion of embracing your weaknesses.
With all this being said, what made this the right time for you to take to the stage, to come to the forefront and let your voice be heard?
The EP was kind of like, I didn't tell anybody I was setting out to make an album or anything that would be released. I just started tracking it, telling myself, this is might be something, or it might just be a demo again. So it kind of eased myself into it until the first show came along and I had to drink like a half gallon of vodka before getting on stage.
Liquid confidence.
Yeah. liquid retardation.
I ordered 8 shots of vodka and you're just like, he started drinking, I'm watching him, like, take one after the other. I had mine lined up, but I was like, and he was like, you gonna drink that? And I was like, I guess. He started drinking mine, I was just like, okay.
Yeah, you have done this before, haven't you, Patrick?
it took, I mean, I'm still getting over some humps, you know, like, during sound check, I had a hard time, because that, you know, like, sound check, I'm not in show mode. I'm not, you know, I haven't had any drink yet or anything. And when there's people around, I kind of like, oh my God, let's not play that song. Let's play something, you know, like, so there's still that, you know, I think no matter how good you get, you'll always have that. But there's a lot of things that I'm overcoming, you know, like, I still suck at talking to the audience. It's getting better, but.
Because I'm not talking.
But I had to have some pep talks. The bands had these guys like, dude, why? Why did you say that? You're
a couple of times Roberto, like while he was talking, he was just rambling. Roberto would just start playing. Okay.
Yeah, I can save his bacon with loud chords. Pick a song off the EP. Give us the backstory to it, and we'll play it.
The backstory, pick a song. I'll be very vague about this explanation. Worries Are Over was a... I got a call from a close friend who was going through some weird shit, we'll just say. Like some psychological torment or
could
whatever.
Could you be more vague?
she's going through some troubles, mm-hmm. And I was in the middle of tracking the mixing the Leslie Lane record when I got that call, and it was really disturbing because I hadn't heard from her in a few years, and it was just like pretty disturbing. So I grabbed the guitar and I called her back, and I recorded "Worries Are Over" on her answering machine, like it was like an improvised song.
Yeah,
and then. A few days later, the song was still in my head, and I was like, so I called her and I was like, can you send me that message somehow, like Bluetooth it? Or and she's like, yeah, I'll send. So she sent it back to me, and I had the file, and then I just wrote down the words, and that's it. That's the way that song happened.
Get him to tell that story on stage, you know, if he's got to start talking. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Too bad it's a big lie.
Who cares? It's a good song.
It's about a hooker. I'm just kidding. It's a true story.
Your worries are over now. You don't have to cry. The storm is over. The storm is over. Now you're not just a girl. There are that I once loved, I still love you.
just the same. These things will never change. These things will never change. These things will never change until I die. Girl, your worries are over now. You don't have to drown. You're in shallow water. You're in shallow water now.
Thanks for listening to the Toronto Indie Scene, an Indie Can Music production.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit IndieCan.com.